This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Well, it was a week ago, and these numbers tend to change, as do so many things COVID-19 related or prone to do. But you had Governor Jared Polis as saying that, yes, all adults could get that COVID-19 booster shot, and that an estimated 1 in 67 of us is infected. Now, meanwhile, in Europe, you had protests against new COVID-19 restrictions and lockdowns turning violent over the weekend. As cases continued to rise there, rioting broke out in The Hague on Saturday after the Dutch government's new coronavirus measures. An estimated 40,000 people on Saturday crowded the streets of Vienna, Austria, in that nation's biggest coronavirus-related protest to date. This as a lockdown goes into effect, particularly for the unvaccinated today. So it begs the question, and we talked about this a little bit last week. When will COVID-19 shift from pandemic to endemic status? Now, put into more understandable terms, how can we learn to live with COVID? 809 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA, Mornings with Gail. Ari Armstrong writes regularly for Complete Colorado. He's the author of books about Ayn Rand, Harry Potter, and classical liberalism, and just wrote a great piece. You can find it on Complete Colorado, page 2. Just go to CompleteColorado.com. That kind of says it all. Learning to live with COVID. Ari, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yes, I certainly appreciate your taking the time. So let's see if we can drill this down, because I did spend some time last week talking about it. It seems as though there's going to have to be consensus among not only the public health experts, but politicians. Good luck with that. And the general public as to when COVID-19 moves from that pandemic to that endemic status. Your thoughts?
Well, it's partly a matter of choice and policy, and partly it's just a matter of time. I mean, eventually it will just recede to something like a background disease. It'll have highs and lows, and there will be people getting it and dying from it every year, but it won't be something that's dominating our lives. Most of us won't have to worry about it all the time, just the same that we don't worry about flu, even though people die of the flu every year. Mm-hmm. And I've had my flu vaccine too, right?
Right.
So, you know, it's just going to move to one of those background diseases. Unfortunately, right now, it is hardly anything but a background disease. The way we're in now is we're getting really hammered here in this region of the country. And in fact, by all relevant metrics, this is the second worst wave that we've had. So if you look at hospitalization rates, if you look at case rates, or if you look at death rates, it's not the worst. But it's the second worst, and it could become the worst on certain metrics, but it will never be the worst in terms of the deaths. That's going to take the crown there is the third wave, which was late last year.
So what wave are we in at this point in time, and how are those waves defined?
It's a little bit loose, but I define them. According to my calculations, we're in the fifth wave. Okay, and if you look at the humps, you can see five humps, so I think it's pretty obvious. But it's somewhat arbitrary. So I've also calculated the deaths per wave, because that's really important. Mm-hmm. So the first wave I have down is about 1,600 deaths. The brutal third wave was about 2,200 deaths. Mm-hmm. And the wave we're in now is about 1,700 deaths. Now, people are going to debate, when do you start and stop a wave? I think my dates make sense, but it doesn't really matter that much. You get the general idea, right? That's one way that we are starting to beat COVID a little bit, because the death count, as bad as it is now, I mean, there's still dozens of people dying most days. Mm-hmm. But it's not as bad as it was during that brutal wave at the end of last year. And partly because we have better treatments. And that you ask, how are we going to learn to live with this? Better treatments is already helping and will continue to help, hopefully, because there's more drugs in development. So both Merck and Pfizer have new antivirals that are hopefully coming out in development. And they seem to be having very, very good results, especially with the Pfizer vaccine, or excuse me, the Pfizer antiviral. Mm-hmm. So I am personally hopeful that once we get, you know, we already have some effective drugs, semi-effective antiviral. People are using type of steroid in some cases to help. Jared Polis has been pushing these monoclonal antibodies,
right,
which help somewhat, right? So this is going to be part of the way that we get there. Just better care, better drugs.
Why did this wave, this fifth wave, why did it hit us so hard?
So this is partly an open debate. I think some of the answers are clear. So there was earlier in the month, the Anschutz Medical School came out with a big report on COVID, and they include a lot of estimates. So that was really interesting, and that's part of what I cover in my article. I just summarized some of their reports. So they point out the obvious, right? People's activities have returned to normal levels. So people are not staying home anymore, I mean, for the most part, right? And even just anecdotally going to the store, most people don't seem to be too interested in wearing masks, even though I'm in Jefferson County. So there's talk about maybe some additional counties imposing mask mandates today.
Jefferson County we'll among them, right?
Correct, yeah. And I believe Boulder and at least another county has a mask mandate. So we'll see if that extends to some additional counties today. I'm not sure. I don't think that's going to make that much difference anyway, frankly. I mean, as I pointed out on social media, right, it's like a mandate is not self-enforcing, right? Mm-hmm. And also, I see like half the people I see, quote, in masks, have their masks hanging below their nose or hanging on their chin.
Yes.
It's like, okay, you could mandate whatever you want, you know what I'm saying? No. There's no practical way to make people do it. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, just people's activities returning to normal is a big part of it. Now, we are hitting the holiday season, right? It's probably too late for you to gain immunity from vaccines for Thanksgiving. You definitely have time for Christmas. And, you know, it is a sad fact that some people are going to get COVID at their holiday events, mm-hmm. and some people are going to land in the hospital from that. And, you know, I'm glad that my mom just got her booster. I'm vaccinated. I can rest easier knowing that I have a much less chance of infecting a family member, making them dreadfully ill.
Well, you make a very good point there. But, you know, I've got to wonder, I mean, back to those masks, they're more like an accessory these days. And again, I don't want to get into this whole mask debate unless you want to go there. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But what they have found is a lot of those really cute printed, patterned masks that we match to our outfits are pretty useless.
If you want to wear a mask, right, if you're concerned about yourself, maybe you're immunocompromised or older, mm-hmm. I recommend you can just walk into Home Depot and buy N95 masks now. I like this brand, 3M, the Aura, and they fit because they have a really good-fitting nose piece, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're getting a much better seal, and it's a very good filter. So if you're worried about it for yourself, the way I would look at it is, you know, mask yourself well and because other people just, you know, you can't rely on other people to wear good masks anyway, even whether there's a mandate or not. So that's my personal take on that. Or, you know, or just do your car deliveries. You can still do that in most places. So, you know, if you're worried about it for yourself or your family, then there's steps you can take. Other than that, I'm personally just not going to worry about it. It doesn't bother me to wear a surgical mask or an N95 mask in the store. I know some people seem to get excited about that. Of course, you know, another thing is Anschutz reports points out is that there is some waning immunity among vaccinated people.
Right.
And there's also waning immunity if you've got the infection and have immunity the hard way, right? So either way, there's waning immunity. It does seem to be the case that a third shot is restoring very high levels of immunity. And so, you know, I think Jared Polis was right on that score to kind of rush the federal government, and he just declared that all Coloradans could get the booster. Now, we don't want to push the older people to the end of the line by any stretch, but generally, if the shots are available, I think it's a good idea for people to get their third shot. We'll see how that turns out long term, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that the Anschutz report points out is that, look, a lot of people just aren't getting vaccinated still. There is some waning of immunity. But I just, you know, I think it's worth pondering a couple of numbers the state has released. Something like 80% of people in the hospital with COVID are not vaccinated, whereas only about 20 to 25%, somewhere in that range, of the people, of the population, remains unvaccinated. Okay, so you really are at a lot higher risk if you're unvaccinated. And the state also compares vaccinated to unvaccinated populations, so that you're comparing population per population basis. And they continue to show that you're a lot more likely to get COVID, to go to the hospital from COVID, or to die from COVID. So just to give you a sense here, right? So in September, per million among vaccinated people, there were 23.2 deaths per million. Among the unvaccinated population, the number is 290.4 deaths per million. Okay, like way higher, more than 10 times higher. So to my mind, these numbers are pretty revealing, right? Vaccines work. They don't work perfectly, no. There is some waning immunity over time, especially after if you only have one or two shots. But overall, they do work very, very well. Obviously,
well, and again, I think, part of the issue is, and not trying to make this a partisan discussion whatsoever, because politicians on all sides of the equation have been, for lack of a better term, rather imprecise, rather capricious, which is how many of us perceive it, when it comes to this ever-rotating, ever-changing list of COVID-19-related guidelines and restrictions. Now, speaking of the booster, I'm going to get a booster shot. Haven't done it yet, but I will. I guarantee. But it now begs the question of when the definition of being, quote, fully vaccinated is going to change as a result of the apparent need for the booster.
Yeah, it is an open question. But, we can't blame politicians for all of this. Now, there's been a lot of problems in what they've said and what they've done at the political level.
And I get it. Science changes. I get that.
Yeah, and the virus has changed too, right? I mean, mm-hmm. the virus we're facing now is a variant of the original virus. But look, I just went and got my shingles shot, and actually that was a lot worse than the COVID shot for me, because I don't want shingles is a nasty disease too, right? And if you're getting older, that's mm-hmm. a good vaccine to get, but that's a 2-dose regimen, right? Mm-hmm. And so, just after experience, they kind of decide, do you need one shot for this or two or three? There's a lot of vaccines for other diseases where a 3-shot regimen is common. So one possibility is that we'll just figure out, okay, this is the kind of disease we need a 3-shot regimen for. And the third shot really does seem to raise immunity much higher. Now, so the question I think underneath at the surface here is, are we going to need annual vaccines the way that there's annual flu shots?
My guess is yes.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, all I'm doing is reading what the experts say and trying to summarize what they're saying, right? I'm not an epidemiologist. Mm-hmm. I quote a fellow Amish Adalja out of Johns Hopkins. I think he's been one of the most consistent and solid voices for the whole pandemic. And he's been more or less skeptical of many of the political controls that have been put into place. But I try to follow what the experts are saying, but I don't know if there's a consensus yet as to whether there's going to be need to be an annual vaccine. My thinking, based on the numbers I've seen, is that the third shot really is really boosting people's immunity. Like that's even true of the AstraZeneca vaccine, which is not available here, right? But the third mm-hmm. shot of that seems to be really improving the efficacy of that vaccine. So I don't know. My hope is it will be covered for some time. I mean, look, it certainly will get us through this horrible wave, and then as we have better treatments and as more people get immunity either the easy way or the hard way, it will recede eventually into the background. Though I have to say, I mean, this wave, the severity of this wave really took me by surprise. It kept creeping up and up and up, and I kept wondering when it was going to crest, and it looked like it might be cresting a few weeks ago, and then it starts shooting back up again. This it's the Delta variant. People are going back to normal. Lots of people still aren't vaccinated, and some people who are vaccinated. Now, it tends to be older people, right? I mean, if you're younger and you get 2 shots, you're almost certainly going to be safe from COVID. You might get some symptoms, but you're almost certainly not going to end up in the hospital. So it does tend to be the older people who seem to especially need that booster shot. So what can I say? I mean, you can blame politicians for a lot, but there's just some things are you don't know until you kind of go through it.
Well, we can only hope, though, that we learn the lessons we need to learn from this pandemic.
Yeah. And so we can discuss what those lessons are. Clearly, there have been some massive failures by the federal government in handling this pandemic. They totally screwed up the testing regimen. They, to my mind, delayed vaccines far longer than they needed to have them safely implemented. And between these things, and, you know, you remember Fauci was, and others were telling us, well, you don't need to wear a mask early in the pandemic. Right. And then it shifted to, oh, you must wear a mask, right?
It's like, yeah, okay. No, wait, you got to wear two.
but, you know, it's like, I think also we have to look at ourselves a little bit and wonder, why does everything become so hyper tribal? I mean, it can't be the case that your team is right about everything, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, what's more likely, that people are just tribalistically believing everything their team tells them, or that everything their team tells them happens to be the truth, and the other team never gets anything right? Okay, I think it's a lot more likely that we're being very tribalistic to a large degree, and we're just not listening to people, and we're letting our biases get in the way of our calm reflection of what's actually going on.
Well, and that's right? A dangerous place to be.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's one lesson that I hope we learn is that, look, we need to take a breath. Realize it's easy to get things wrong. It's easy for our team to get things wrong, right? We're human beings. We're not omniscient. We're fallible. And we have a tendency to be biased in a lot of cases. So we have to kind of take measures to counteract that and try to think with our rational size of our brains and not our emotive, you know, tribal rah-rah side of our brain.
We're not the lizard brain.
Right?
Yes.
Right. So that's what I kind of hope we, you know, there was this terrible story in the Colorado Sun yesterday. It was a column, right, about how there's a lot more fights and tension in schools.
Saw that.
And it's like, people are just, it's been kind of traumatic. Everybody's having a lot of people are having trouble. I mean, I'm finding myself getting more upset and irritable. And I think hopefully we can just all learn to calm back down a little bit and start listening a little bit more,
right?
And stop screaming a little bit, stop screaming as much. And, you know, hopefully as the COVID becomes endemic and a background disease, hopefully some of this political tension and strife will also become endemic and more of a background issue again.
I couldn't agree with you more, Ari. We all need to take a deep breath and just to bring that overheated temperature of our interactions, particularly if we're on either side of the political fence, down a few notches. Ari, to be continued. Always enjoy the conversation. Thanks for that great piece in Complete Colorado, Learning to Live with COVID. Thanks for your time this morning.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it.
Take good care. 826 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 1031 1310 KFKA.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. From Colorado's state basketball coaches and players on the Hull Show. Weekdays noon to 2 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
We also love us some Brady Hull, host of The Hull Show, heard weekdays, right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA, from noon to 2 at 8:39 on your Monday morning. Thought it was a good time to, just do a little sports rewind and a week ahead with our own Brady Hull. Hey, Brady.
Gail, how are you? I love the tune. That's great.
Yeah, I know you do. That was just for you, a little inside, well, I would say baseball, but it's inside basketball there.
Hey, I love it. It's great. It was a busy weekend. We're still in that cross, crossover with football going hot and heavy and then basketball rolling. So if you're not careful, you can lose track pretty quickly.
True that. But we count on you to keep us on our toes for sure. So we've got CSU basketball, 5-0 now, playing in that Paradise Jam Championship.
Yeah, Colorado State is as good as advertised, starting the season 5-0. And we were kind of hoping we'd see CSU, and because CU is in this tournament as well, so we have to go all the way to St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands to perhaps see Colorado State play Colorado. But Colorado had lost their second game, so they move on opposite sides of the bracket. And, yeah, the Rams are playing for, you know, just a little tournament championship. Nothing major, nothing like the big stuff as we progress through the season. But a chance to go 6-0. They're favorites going up against Northeastern tonight at 6 o'clock. So it's been good. This Rams team is really fun. David Roddy, and, of course, we do the David Roddy show here on the whole show on Wednesdays. He is... I mean, people are throwing this out there, and I'm just going to say it. They're throwing out that he could be the best player in the country. So he had 65 points in two games in a row. So, I mean, he is as good as advertised. He's having a monster year.
He's the real deal, the full package, eh?
Yeah, he really is. He's a great guy, too. And we get a chance to talk to him here at KFK when he's in Fort Collins. Of course, he's making the move down here to join us for a full hour every single week. So we get to talk to, for sure, the best player in the state. And, yeah, I mean, he's getting a lot of those accolades early on as one of the top dogs in the country as far as players go. So it's really cool.
All right. So before we change sports here, well, no, let's go ahead and do that as we speak. What the heck? Wanted to talk a little bit about it's a bye week for the Broncos. Would love to be a fly on the wall for those discussions. Can you characterize, I mean, what the heck they're talking about now? And is old Teddy going to be ready Teddy once again with that fire in his eyes?
Yeah, you know, you got a chance. The interesting thing is with the Broncos is that they're 5-5. It feels like they're 3-7.
It does.
They're 5-5. They have a realistic shot to get into the playoffs. There's 7 games remaining. Remember now, 17-game season. So, but it's interesting. I mean, you got a coaching staff that I don't think a lot of fans believe in. Teddy Bridgewater is what he is. He's kind of a career backup. He's a cool guy, great, you know, great leader. But then you had the no tackle, the no attempt for the fumble two weeks ago. So,
he sat that one out, didn't he?
Yeah, he decided not to go for that one. That one hurts. I mean, that play is a potentially season ender or season saver, and he didn't even make an attempt. So if the Broncos do miss the playoffs, let's say they miss by a game or two, you know people are going to be looking at that play saying, man, if Teddy would have tripped him, who knows? Maybe the Broncos get the stop, maybe they win. But 7 games remaining. They got the Chargers and the Chiefs coming up 2 in a row.
Right.
And so they got a chance to control their destiny, really. I mean, let's just say this. If they win out, which that's not happening, but if they do, they would win the division, and they would have, you know, they'd have a great spot in the playoffs. So a lot can still happen at 5-5, even though it feels like they're much worse.
Well, I know our own Micah Kilpatrick would be very, very happy about that if they would, you know, go the distance, as the case may be.
Yeah, Michael Kirkpatrick looks like a Bronco threw up on him every day, but yeah, he would be happy for sure, no doubt.
Well, yeah, he is nothing if not consistent when it comes for his adoration of his much-beloved Denver Broncos. All right, so let's talk about UNC, Weber State. Well, there were some good things, but some bad things as they went down.
Yeah, really weird game. Dylan McCaffrey starts the game, of course, starting quarterback for the Bears. He goes down early, and the Bears are up 17-10 mm-hmm. in the second quarter, late in the second quarter. Alec Lewis comes in, backup quarterback. He throws 3 pick sixes in a row, and that turns the tide. You have 21 points scored in a row.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, you're up 17-10. It's looking like the Bears might pull this thing off, and 21 points in a row, and that's half of what Weber State scored on the day almost, 48. So that was just a wacky game. There were so many strange things going on in this one, and unfortunately, that's how we will remember the Bears this year. They lose the final game of the season. They finished 3-8 with Ed McCaffrey as his first real coaching year. Last year, of course, they didn't have any games, so his first year is under his belt, and the Bears go 3-8.
Now, how would you grade Eddie Mack's performance over the year?
You know, it's interesting, Gail. Going back to spring ball, back in what was that, March last year, he had an offensive coordinator, which was his mentor growing up, Dave Baldwin. And the night before that game happens, they move on from Dave Baldwin. Nobody really knows why, and next thing you know, Ed McCaffrey is calling the plays, not Dave. He's gone. He brings his son in, Max McCaffrey, who's the quote-unquote offensive coordinator, but Ed still calls the plays. So that was a weird thing. And you know, some of the play calling was interesting, but it was his very first year as a D1 head coach. It went about as good as you could expect. I didn't think this team would win much more than 3 or 4 games because of their history, so it's going to be a long process. But overall, I don't think there's a lot of reason to hang your head and say, oh, the Bears are doomed, because they haven't had any success since becoming a Division I team. So I still think people are going to be optimistic going into next season.
Well, I certainly am as well, because I can't help but think, and again, you're the expert here, and I defer to your expertise, but it seems to me there's a transitional period coming in as a coach.
It always takes time, and you know, there's sometimes you get lucky and you inherit some kids that are really good, and they make you look good, and you go win a bunch of games in that first year or two. We've seen that before, but most of the time, when you hire a head coach, you kind of have to have the mindset of, okay, this is going to be a 3 to 4 year plan here, just to get us going and get your recruiting class, get guys that you know. And keep in mind, McCaffrey was a high school coach; he didn't deal with recruiting and all this, so this is all still relatively new to him.
Well, your beloved Denver Nuggets, interesting article in SB Nation today asking, are the Nuggets cursed?
Boy, the injuries are mounting up.
Aren't they?
Team.
They're massive.
And the biggest one, obviously, is Nikola Jokic. You go from a deep playoff team with him on the roster starting to, you're not, I mean, they're lucky if they win 20 or 30 games if he's not on the floor. So that one hurts the most. His is a wrist injury. It doesn't look like it's going to be something too serious, but it might be one of those that just kind of nags at you. And, of course, it's his right wrist. So he does a lot with that as far as shooting the basketball, passing the basketball. And then we heard today Michael Porter Jr., with his back injury, might be more severe than we first thought. In fact, there's nerve damage there that could keep him from playing the season. And that is a scary thing for Nuggets fans, because that's what kept him from having a full college season, was his back. And that's also what allowed him to drop in the draft. Well, that injury is coming back to bite this Nuggets team right after they signed him to a max contract.
Not good. Not good for sure. Brady Hall, host of The Hall Show, heard weekdays noon to 2 right here on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 1310 KFKA. So what do we have to look forward to today, Brady?
Oh, we're talking a lot of CSU, of course. We're going to bring a guy on, Joel Cantalamesso of a Ram Nation, a good friend of mine. Sat down with Joe Parker, the athletic director for CSU, a few weeks ago. And let's just say this, fans didn't like what he had to say. So we're going to dissect that interview with Joel today and talk about the future of Colorado State. Also, more on the Broncos going forward. And yes, we will break into all things Nuggets. They've now lost 4 in a row.
Right.
And without Joker, when does the losing stop? I'm not sure.
Yeah, can they turn the tide? Brady Hall, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for taking the time. Appreciate you.
All right, Gail, appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds like a plan. Brady Hall, host of The Hall Show, heard weekdays noon to 2 right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 1310 KFKA, 848 now.
For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hall Show weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. A good afternoon guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Some sad news, as Bohemian Nights at New Westfest has been permanently discontinued. Never thought I'd hear those words come out of my own mouth. 852 now. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA. Mornings with Gail. Yep, writes Aaron Udell in the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Bohemian Nights at New Westfest is no more. The annual festival, whose roots in Fort Collins go back more than 30 years, has been permanently discontinued. Its organizers, Bohemian Nights, announced early Friday afternoon. You had Bohemian Foundation live music manager Laura Wilson saying in an emailed statement announcing the change, like most organizations during the pandemic, Bohemian has reflected on our work and decided now is the time to reevaluate how to best serve the community. through live music. Now, the festival was started as New West Fest by the Fort Collins Downtown Business Association way back when, in 1989. And it was about 15 years ago that the Downtown Business Association and Bohemian Foundation joined forces to create Bohemian Nights at New West Fest. This is a free three-day music festival that brought Colorado musicians and national headliners to the same old town stages. Now, while Bohemian Nights at New West Fest brought big names to Fort Collins, and we're talking some pretty darn huge names. I mean, recent headliners recently included the likes of the Steve Miller Band, Pat Benatar, Blondie, The Fray, Cake, and Bonnie Raitt. Well, it was also recently impacted, like so many other festivals, by COVID-19. In 2020, Bohemian decided early on in the COVID-19 pandemic to cancel Bohemian Nights at New West Fest for that year. Now, around that same time, the DBA itself fell victim to the pandemic, announcing layoffs and a number of furloughs as it folded into the Fort Collins Downtown Development Authority to blunt the impact of its many canceled events. Now, earlier this year, Bohemian Nights unveiled a new pared-down festival. It's known as the Bohemian Light Music Festival, set to provide 2 free days of live music downtown in mid-August. But that, too, was ultimately canceled this summer over growing concerns about that highly contagious Delta variant. Now, Bohemian Nights' annual summer concert series, Thursday Night Live, which took place at New Belgium Brewing this year, well, that will continue. This according to Wilson's statement. Again, Bohemian Foundation live music manager Laura Wilson. Ms. Wilson went on to say, "We're excited for Thursday Night Live in 2022. We look forward to finding new ways to build community through live music. Bohemian Nights at New West Fest holds a special place in our hearts, and we're grateful for 15 years of building community at the festival through live music." This as Bohemian Nights at New West Fest has been permanently discontinued. Closing in on 8:57 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 1310 KFKA.
Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NOCO Now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show, weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Can't express my appreciation when it comes to your generosity and support of the Weld Food Bank, as the need is greater than ever. 8:59 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 1310 KFKA, Mornings with Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. But something very, very special beginning today through Sunday, November 28th, Vera Companies has committed to match every single donation up to $30,000 total if you do decide to make a monetary donation to the Weld Food Bank. Because once again, we've said it before, I'll say it again, they can stretch a dollar like nobody's business. So if you're interested in doing that, just jump online, go to weldfoodbank.org. All right, Tanner Schwint, host of NOCO Now, coming up next at 9.